The sun is not even up when I pull on my boots. My work bag is packed for the office and sitting by the front door. Between now and my 9-to-5 commute, I have exactly 45 minutes to be a farmer. Most people think you have to choose between a steady paycheck and a life on the land. They believe you need 40 acres and a tractor to be taken seriously. I used to believe that too, but the truth is that self-reliance does not require a resignation letter. It requires a strategy. I started this journey because I wanted to know where my food came from without losing my financial security. It was about proving that I could be capable in both worlds. This is about the why and the how of building a productive homestead while keeping your career intact. It is time to stop waiting for someday and start planting where you are right now. The morning commute to the garden. I remember the first morning I stood in my backyard with a cup of coffee and realized that my dream of farming was restricted by a ticking clock. I had to be in a meeting by 9, and my commute was 30 minutes long. The realization was heavy. If I was going to do this, I had to be smart about the scope of my operation. You cannot plant 5 acres of labor-intensive tomatoes if you are gone 10 hours a day. Small-scale farming while employed is a lesson in ruthless prioritization. It starts with a clear understanding of your zone and your capacity. The why factor here is simple. If you overextend yourself in the first season, you will quit by the second. Self-reliance is a marathon. It is not about how much you can do in a weekend. It is about what you can sustain on a Tuesday morning when you are tired and it is raining. By keeping the scope small and manageable, you ensure that the homestead remains a source of capability rather than a source of stress. First, I had to look at my land and map it out. I did not just look at the soil. I looked at the light and the shadows at different times of the day. I looked at where the water naturally pooled. This is called zone mapping. In a homesteading field guide context, zone 1 is the area closest to your door. This is where your most demanding plants go. Since I am short on time, my herbs and daily salad greens are right off the back porch. I do not have to walk to the back of the property to grab a handful of basil for dinner. Choosing the right crops is the next step in defining your scope. I avoided anything that required constant pruning or daily pest management. I focused on set and forget crops for the larger areas. Garlic, potatoes, and winter squash are excellent for the working professional. They grow at their own pace and do not demand your presence every single afternoon. You plant them, mulch them heavily to keep the weeds down, and let nature do the heavy lifting while you are at your desk. I also had to learn the hard way about the local code language. Before I put a single seed in the ground, I checked my local ordinances. Some areas have strict rules about how much of your front yard can be a garden or whether you can sell produce from your driveway. Knowing these rules is a form of self-reliance. It protects you from legal headaches that could derail your progress. Success in this chapter of your journey is about matching your ambition to your calendar. I track my time just as closely as I track my harvests. If a task takes more than an hour a day during the week, it is too big for my current scope. I want a farm that feeds me, not a farm that drains me. When you understand the scope of your land and your time, you are no longer just a person with a backyard. You are a producer. You are someone who has reclaimed a piece of their independence. It starts with one bed and 1 hour. The land does not care what your job title is. It only cares that you show up, built to last while you are away. The biggest fear for any part-time farmer is what happens when they are not there. When I am sitting in a fluorescent-lit office, I need to know that my farm is not falling apart. This is where infrastructure becomes your most valuable employee. Infrastructure is the physical manifestation of your plan. It is the silent partner that keeps the plants hydrated and the pests at bay. Without solid systems, you are just gambling with your seeds. Why does this matter? Because true capability comes from building systems that work without constant supervision. If you have to hand water your garden every evening, one late night at the office will kill your crop. By automating the basics, you free yourself up to handle the why and the how of actual farming, rather than just struggling to keep things alive. The first piece of infrastructure I installed was an irrigation timer. It is a simple device that screws onto the outdoor faucet. I programmed it to run at 4 in the morning. This ensures the water reaches the roots before the sun can evaporate it. It also means the plants are watered, whether I am home or stuck in traffic. For a working person, this is non-negotiable. I use drip irrigation lines because they deliver water exactly where it is needed. This reduces weed growth because you aren't watering the empty spaces between plants. Next, I had to address safety and protection. This includes predator-proof fencing. If you are growing high-value crops or even just a few fruit trees, the local wildlife will see your yard as a buffet. I used a combination of hardware cloth and sturdy wooden posts. You have to bury the bottom of the fence at least 6 inches into the ground. This stops the diggers. I also checked the local codes for fence heights. Some residential areas limit fences to 6 feet, which a determined deer can easily clear. In those cases, I used motion-activated lights as an extra layer of defense. Safety also applies to you, the farmer. When you are rushing to get things done after work, it is easy to get sloppy. I keep my tools organized and sharp. Dull tools cause accidents because they require more force to use. I invested in high-quality ergonomics for my shovels and hoes. When you only have an hour to work, you cannot afford a back injury. I also keep a safety kit in the shed. It contains gloves, eye protection, and a basic first aid kit. Tools are the extension of your intent. I don't buy cheap plastic versions of anything. I buy steel and wood. I need materials that can withstand the elements and the pressure of a quick work pace. I also built a small wash station near the garden. This allows me to clean the dirt off my tools and my hands before I head inside. It keeps the homestead mess out of my living space and my professional life. Infrastructure is an investment in your future self. It is the difference between a hobby that feels like a chore and a farm that feels like a machine. When you build it right, you can leave for the day with a clear head. You know the water is flowing and the fence is holding. You have created a safe and efficient environment for growth. A strong foundation is the only way to build a high-reaching dream. The harvest of efficiency harvesting is the moment of truth. It is the reward for all the morning chores and the weekend infrastructure projects. But for the working farmer, harvest time can be overwhelming. If everything ripens at once, you can lose a huge portion of your work if you aren't prepared. This is where systems for success come into play. You have to move from being a grower to being a processor. The Y factor here is the preservation of value. If you grow 50 pounds of tomatoes but only eat 5, you have wasted 45 pounds of effort. True self-reliance means capturing the full value of what you produce. It means having a plan for the surplus. This turns your garden from a cost center into a legitimate second income or a massive reduction in your grocery bill. I use a system called batch processing. I do not harvest a little bit every day. Instead, I focus on specific crops on specific days. On Tuesdays, I might focus on leafy greens. On Saturdays, I do the heavy lifting of harvesting roots or fruits that need preserving. I have my kitchen set up for this. I have my jars, my dehydrator, and my freezer bags ready before the first tomato turns red. Soil health is another system that cannot be ignored. A farm is only as good as its soil. Since I have limited time, I use a no-dig method. I layer compost and mulch on top of the soil rather than tilling it. This preserves the soil structure and the beneficial microbes. It also saves me hours of grueling labor. Every fall, I add a thick layer of shredded leaves or straw. By the time spring rolls around, the worms have done the tilling for me. This is a system that works while I sleep. Financial tracking is the final piece of the puzzle. I keep a simple log of what I spend on seeds, tools, and water versus the value of what I harvest. This keeps me grounded. It prevents hobby creep, where you spend thousands of dollars on gadgets that don't actually increase your yield. To be a successful small-scale farmer, you must respect the economics of your land. I also focus on scaling up slowly. Every year, I add one new system. One year, it was a small greenhouse. The next year, it was a rain barrel collection system. This gradual growth allows me to adapt my work-life balance without falling over. I am building a life of capability, not a life of exhaustion. As I stand in my garden now, looking at the rows of productive plants, I feel a sense of pride that no corporate promotion could ever match. I am a professional, and I am a farmer. I have proven that you do not need to quit your job to reclaim your connection to the earth. You just need a plan, some sturdy boots, and the willingness to start before the sun comes up. The most important thing I have grown on this farm is my own confidence. I know that if the world changes tomorrow, I have the skills and the systems to provide for myself. That is the ultimate goal of the homesteading journey. It is not just about the food. It is about the person you become while you are growing it. You are more capable than you think, and the dirt is waiting for you to prove it.